Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
It is only through Christ we have freedom. Amen?
Amen.
It is only through Christ we find true freedom. In about 2.5 weeks, on the 4th of July, we will celebrate our nation's 243rd birthday. And it was a little under 2.5 centuries ago that the United States was born. A nation based on the ideals of liberty, responsibility, godliness, and the freedom to become what God intended us to become. And that was a new and revolutionary idea. The celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom. We celebrate the precious gift of freedom because we have become members in the body of Christ. We have the gift of freedom because of the price that others have paid. You see, we must remember that freedom isn't free. Freedom is very, very expensive. It has cost some people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free, but it is infinitely valuable. See, the ideal of freedom is an ideal that our founding fathers believed valuable enough to risk everything on. They risked their fortunes, their families, their reputation, and their honor. They risked their very lives, and many of them paid for our freedom with their blood and the blood of their children. And today, as we worship in security and in comfort, we do so because thousands of young men have given their lives and they have shed their blood on foreign soil. They died in forsaken places with names not remembered, so that we could experience the joy and the responsibility of freedom. In fact, in the past couple of weeks, several young Americans have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can taste the fruit of freedom. And that springs from the tree of liberty. In a letter to William Smith, dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." So no, freedom is not free. The price is always paid in blood. The blood spilled by young American men in the past few weeks and months is not the first time blood was spilled for our freedom. The blood spilled on battlefields called Concord and Charleston and Yorktown was not the first time blood was spilled for our freedom. No, 2,000 years ago and plus, a young man's blood spilled upon the ground so that we could all experience freedom. Jesus came in order to bring us freedom from a host of human maladies. Jesus came for us. Jesus came for you. And Jesus came for me. Jesus came in order to bring us freedom. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 34 through 36, Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Later, the Apostle Paul wrote these words regarding the work of Jesus in setting us free. "The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death." Romans 8 talks about this. But not only in Romans 8, it is not something that is just biblical for us. This is a daily lifestyle we need to be participating in. We need to be appreciative of the things that we are offered. We need to be appreciative of the things that we are able to do through that freedom, through the freedom from our country, but more importantly, freedom from sin. God has provided that for us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. We have sacrificed our sons. But through Jesus Christ, we have the ultimate sacrifice so that we have those freedoms. We have those luxuries to be in a place like this to worship the Lord without fear of a tyrannical person coming in and denying us what God has so promised us. And that is everlasting life. And we thank you, God, for that. So like I said, in a couple weeks, we'll be celebrating our independence from tyranny and bondage to an oppressive government, an independence won over 200 years ago. We celebrate an independence as a nation. However, that is temporary. A day will come when we no longer enjoy the freedoms that we have. Nonetheless, we celebrate our independence. But should we not daily celebrate our independence from the tyranny and bondage of guilt, from sin, from fear, and from death? An independence won over 2,000 years ago, should we not celebrate and discover the depths of an independence that will last for all of eternity? If you want to be truly, truly free, free from all the things that tie you down, that bury you under a weight of fear and guilt, this message is for you today. And we'll explore just three of those ways that Jesus sets us free if we only have faith and believe Him and believe in Him. First, we have freedom from guilt. Because our past shouldn't haunt us. Have you been dragging your past around with you? And you know what I mean. You've done things in the past that hurt others or have hurt you. You've failed miserably in the past. You've failed at marriage. You failed at parenting. You failed financially because of your own irresponsibility. You've failed at religion. It's just too hard to keep all those rules. You failed and you failed and you failed, and the guilt of those failures and those poor choices are dragging around behind you. They shouldn't be keeping you from soaring, though. Because of that sacrifice, we have the ability, despite the junk, despite the sin, Jesus Christ has set us free. We know that our past sins often feel like an anchor. They keep us earthbound. Especially when our heart longs to be more than just that. We want to reach to the sky. How would you like to be free from guilt? You need to think of one word. You want to be free from guilt? We're forgiven. Forgiven. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death, are gone. And the gift of our Master, Jesus Christ, thank God. Amen. He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and now our sins are forgiven. Because of the work Jesus did in winning your freedom, You don't have to carry your guilt around with you. Did you hear that? You don't have to carry it around with you. That's your choice. If you're carrying it with you, it's because you're not letting it go. No one else cares about it. And that's not a derogatory term there. Jesus has taken care of that. Let him work through you. Forget all that other stuff. In the movie The Mission, the story is told of Captain Rodrigo Mendoza. Mendoza was a slave trader in the mid-1700s, and he and his men would enter the jungles of Brazil and Ecuador to raid the Indian villages and take prisoners to sell as slaves. He even went so far as to raid the Catholic missions to take prisoners from the Indians that were there. In a duel over a woman, Captain Mendoza kills his own brother and falls into a remorse-filled depression, believing God cannot forgive him. However, one of those priests from the mission, San Carlos, offers Mendoza a chance to seek penance. And just as Mendoza found forgiveness at the hands of those he had violated, so we too find forgiveness in the nail-scarred hands of the one we have violated and betrayed. Just as the people had sinned against and cut his guilt away from him and set free with forgiveness, so the God we have sinned against cuts our guilt away, sets us free with forgiveness, because he offers his son, Jesus Christ. And you can have that forgiveness. Jesus the Son offers it to us. When we come to Christ and we let him set us free, we become free from guilt. But there is another freedom that he also offers us. He offers us the freedom of consequence. Christ died in our place. We all know that when the law is broken, there are consequences. Sometimes we escape the legal consequences of our misdeeds. But we all know that there are still consequences. The guilt we just talked about is a consequence of our sin. And there are others as well. But there is one consequence that no matter how hard our heart and how seared our conscience, we must all face this. The ultimate consequence for that sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death. The Bible teaches that we will all face judgment. Everyone has to die once, then face the consequences. Hebrews 9:27. That verse tells us that there is a consequence for our sin. But what is that consequence? Romans 6:23 states it very clearly. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a severe consequence. And according to Scripture, the ultimate consequence for our sin is one that we alone cannot pay. But we don't have to either. The penalty for our sin has already been paid. Our account has been credited, and we are, as we saw a minute ago and talked about, we are no longer guilty. Another key word you must recognize here is vicarious. Vicarious is a big fancy word that means done by one person substituting for another. Christ has dealt with the consequence of our sin. It's not the ultimate consequence that's required. It's that someone already else paid it for you. You see, when Jesus died upon the cross, he was receiving the consequences of my sin and your sin. In John 19, we read the story of the death of Jesus Christ. And at the end, when he cried, he called out, "It is finished." At least that is how we translate it in most Bibles today. But "it is finished" is not the most accurate translation. In the original text, the word translated "finished" is a commercial word that means it is paid. The debt is paid in full. When Jesus died upon that cross, he paid our debt in full and set us free from the ultimate consequence of sin. Now, please don't understand me, though. There are still consequences for our sin. When we choose to speed or run that red light, we still get the ticket and we still have to pay. When we cheat on our taxes, there are still penalties. When we defile our marriage vows and commit adultery, the trust in our relationship is still broken. The marriage may still come to an end. That is a consequence. When we sin, there are going to be temporal consequences. That is the nature of life. You cannot set something into motion and expect that there will be no repercussions from it. But when Jesus sets us free, he frees us from the ultimate consequence. We do not have to pay God for our sins. We are made right with him. Eternal death and eternal separation from God are consequences we have to face. I'm sorry, we won't have to face, because he has sent his son to take care of that for us. Amen to that. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom. Freedom from guilt, because our past should not haunt us. We are free from the ultimate consequence of our sinful lives, because Christ paid our debt. But we also have freedom from accusation. We no longer have to live in fear. Colossians 1:22. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." How nice it is not to have to run and hide. How nice it is not to have to worry about what someone else will find out about you. How nice would it be to be free from all accusations and the fear that your sins and my sins are going to be discovered. That would certainly be a freeing experience. How would it feel to be free from all accusation? Would you have a sense of relief? Would you have a sense of release? Would you feel as though a weight had been lifted from your shoulders? Would you really feel free? How would you feel to know that there was no accusation that could be brought against you? There is a reason that Jesus sets us free from accusation. It is because when we surrender to him and let him have control of our lives, he makes us blameless. And that's another key word you need to know, blameless. Vicariously through Jesus Christ, we are blameless. We are free from guilt. But because of what Jesus did for us upon the cross, we are blameless before God when we know his son, Jesus. The word blameless means that we're free of guilt. Are we free of guilt? God says yes. We're not subject to that blame. And as I said a minute ago, Jesus took care of the eternal consequences of our sin. But he did more than that. He also took care of our guilt. He satisfied the requirements of the law. When the law is broken, a death was required, and he paid that penalty for us. Therefore, not on our own, but through him, we are found free of guilt and not subject to blame. Thus, we are free from accusers. And when a man is free from accusation, he is free from a great deal of the fear that others experience in life. We can stand before God and our fellow man and not fear accusation. Being free of this does not mean that no accusation will come. We will certainly face accusers and all sorts of this in life. That is part of life. Jesus endured it, so do we. But we don't need to fear that. We don't have to tremble and wonder, what are those accusers going to do to me? God says they can do nothing to you, because it's not you they're after. They seek to damage him, not us. But we allow those things to tie us in knots, don't we? We allow the accusations. We allow sin. We allow guilt to run us into the ground. And Satan loves every minute of it. Oh, he's excited when we let those things haunt us. And it shows. There once was a boy named Billy. His grandfather had a slingshot, and one day he asked his grandfather if he could teach him how to shoot the slingshot. His grandfather took into the backwoods, and he began to teach the boy. The grandfather told Billy to go and practice for a little while. And while Billy was in the woods alone, he kept missing everything that he shot at. And Billy, on his way back to the house, saw his grandfather's duck and decided to try his aim with the slingshot once more. Billy took aim and shot at the duck and hit his mark. The duck fell over dead. Billy took the duck, buried it into the ground, and he looked up and saw his sister, Sally, standing there watching him, attempting to hide his deeds. Sally and Billy went back into the grandparents' house. As they did so, Billy told Sally, "Please don't tell him. Don't let him know of my deeds." Sally replied, saying, "Sure, no problem." The kid's grandfather told Sally to go into the kitchen and help her grandmother wash the dishes. Sally said, "Billy is the best dishwasher in the family. He would love to wash the dishes. Remember the duck?" Billy washed the dishes that night. The next day, Billy's grandfather said, "Billy, let's go fishing today. Sally, your grandmother needs your help around the house, so stay here and help her out." Sally responded, "Billy hates fishing, but he loves housework. Isn't that right, Billy?" Billy stayed at home, and Sally went fishing. And this went on for several days. Sally blackmailed Billy into every unpleasant chore around the farm and around everything that was even remotely enjoyable. Finally, Billy had had enough, and he decided to confess his crime. Much to his surprise, his grandfather said, "I know that you killed the duck. I saw you through the window. I also saw your sister standing there watching you. I forgave you when it happened because I love you. I just wanted to know how long you would let yourself be your sister's slave." You see, when we don't turn to Jesus and confess our sin, and we don't allow him to cleanse us, we are slaves to our past. We are slaves to our sin. And we are susceptible to accusation. But once we come clean, we are free from those things. We are no longer a slave. So in some summation, we know that freedom is a basic human desire. So we would expect to read about it in the Bible. And while the Bible speaks often of freedom, its focus is most frequently related to the spiritual freedom a person can experience through Christ. We know that freedom in Christ is seen in contrast to the bondage of sin. We read in Romans 6:23. Second, freedom in Christ is seen as the only true form of freedom because it provides lasting freedom beyond this life. John 8:32, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We now know the truth that sets us free as believers, don't we? We know that truth. And I challenge, if you do not know that truth, that you seek it. You seek those that know the truth. And you don't quit until you receive that truth. If they don't know what that is, you find somebody else. And if you don't find somebody else, you come find me. You come find Pastor. You come find our deacons. You come find many individuals who are sitting, waiting, and ready to give you that truth. And it won't be our words, but God through us that'll expose you to that. And if you don't have that or have not had that experience, it is the most wonderful experience you will ever have in your entire life. The moment you give your life over, all that weight of the struggle, the sin, the guilt, it's taken away from you. Who wouldn't want that? We also know that a person who has experienced true freedom in Christ is called to live as his servant. The Apostle Paul was the greatest example of this, as many of his letters began with the introduction of himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:1, we are set free to serve Christ. Now, this seems like a paradox to the non-believer. Yet the freedom found in Christ gives the believer a desire to live for Christ. Because if it was our own desire, we'd quit. Because I'm going to warn you. As a Christian, if you find it easy, you're doing it wrong. You can take that to the bank. If it is an easy life for you as a Christian, I'd venture to say that Jesus has not come to you. I know this from experience. When I first came to Christ, things were easy. I'd said the words, I went through the motions, and I thought everything was just great. I didn't meet any hardships. Of course, I was 8 years old. But that doesn't matter. I wasn't being challenged. And because I wasn't being challenged, I was not growing. And because I wasn't being challenged, I fell away from the Lord. But the Lord woke me up. And he said, I've got better things for you. Would you allow me to do that through you? And in turn, through others. And when I said yes that day, all that baggage, all that guilt, all of that junk started to fade away. And believe me, I gave every effort to keep it. I still do. But I have found freedom through Christ. And I want that for all of you. And you can have it. You can have it. But you have to understand, this freedom does not mean sin is completely removed from us. Paul spoke of his ongoing struggle with sin, and we can attest to this. Romans 7:15-20, yet also noted that sin no longer controlled him in Romans 6. He was now a person who sought to live a transformed life because of his new life in Christ. This included putting off old habits. We talked a little bit about that last week. And we develop new patterns that honor God. In short, we experience true freedom in Christ by knowing him, by walking in his ways, not our own. We engage with the changes he makes in and through our lives as we focus on service to him and others. This freedom transcends the human freedoms desired in this world, but it provides peace in this life and freedom with Christ forevermore. Sound good to you? We will celebrate the freedom of our nation and what that means to us, what it means to the families of those who lost individuals who fought for that. But I pray as we honor those who have fallen and are in continual service to this country, we remember the ultimate sacrifice and the reason why we sit here today. And I pray that if you do not have the relationship with Jesus Christ, you make today that day. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. Come to him. Experience the true freedom and what freedom really means. And that is a life everlasting with our Lord, because he so desires it for you and me. I pray that is your prayer this morning. Because Jesus bled and died, he gave his life so that you and I could be free. And if you have not accepted that sacrifice and the freedom it brings, will you consider that today? Let us pray. Lord, what an honor it is to know you. And not only that, Lord, that you chose us to know you. There are many struggles that we are facing today as our freedoms are increasingly being eroded. Keep us under your protection as we seek to live our lives unto you. Lord, how we long to live in a world that is truly free and liberated. But Lord, help us see beyond our own limited perception of what is true liberty in this world. Help us to understand that it is our desire to see this world governed by men of integrity and goodness. But we know that, Lord, that pipe dream may never be realized. For we are a sinful people that live fallen lives, and which is currently governed by Satan. But Father, you help all your children to understand that until you send your son back to free us forever. And we will live forever by your truth. Thank you that he is coming back soon to right all the wrongs. Thank you that we have that promise that you are returning to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Help us to see this world from your perspective and pray into your will, knowing that only when Christ returns will the earth experience true freedom. And Lord, as we're in prayer now, I'm going to ask that all of us take a moment in time here that we pray pray for the needs of the church, pray for the needs of the lost, pray for your needs. And whatever is hindering you for allowing the Holy Spirit to move you, pray for that freedom now for him to do so. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son. Because you loved us so much, you gave us everything. Lord, we may struggle, and we struggle mightily with the guilt and the sin and the things that keep us away from you. Lord, thank you for not abandoning us. Thank you for being there in the trenches when we need you most. Even when it seems like you're not there, you're there. You're carrying us. I pray for those who are lost, who do not know you. I pray that those days are numbered and then they come to know you and have that relationship with you. I pray for this church. I pray that we continue to get stronger and stronger. Not for the benefit of numbers, not for the benefit of individuals saying, oh, this is a great church to be at, but for the benefit and the glory that goes to your name and your name alone. Lord, we want to experience true freedom, and we only do that because of your sacrifice. Thank you. We will continue to press on because it's what you've called us to do. And when times seem like they dictate that we cannot, we know that we can because you are on our side. And through all of this, we pray that your name be glorified. Because we love you and we want to serve you. And it should be the only thing that we want to do. Thank you for instilling that desire in our hearts. And through all of this, we love you. We praise you. We only wish that we could do more. As we leave here today, Lord, I pray that today is the day that we transform ourselves to be like Christ. That we don't miss opportunities. That we don't assume that somebody else will take up the slack. And that we don't assume that because you're in power, Lord, that there isn't a fight to be fought, because there is. But we thank you that we already have the victory. Thank you, Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.